Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia. Today we celebrate in this country a national holiday, that being a celebration of our independence. It is the 4th of July. My heart fills with emotion when thinking about this great country in which we live. I recall some 20 years ago, it was 1991, in fact, when the Super Bowl was held in the midst of a great problem that we had in this country. We had men and women risking their lives for our freedoms on foreign soil. They were in the country named Iraq. And I recall hearing the newscast and reading the newspapers concerning the meetings that then NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle had with representatives at the White House. And they discussed whether or not to just cancel that Super Bowl because of the tensions that we had in our country. And they decided, and well decided, I believe, that the nation needed a diversion, and they would go ahead and present the Super Bowl in the city of Miami, Florida. And I recall, as though it were yesterday, before the game, a singer by the name of Whitney Houston, who stood on stage before those that were gathered, and she began to sing the Star-Spangled Banner. I remember being in my home before the television set, and I remember the tears that flowed down my cheek as I heard perhaps the most beautiful rendition of that great song that I personally have ever heard. I recalled times past and thought about times future as Whitney Houston sang that song. I stood with my hand over my heart and thought of those people who had gone before and had given their lives that we might have the freedoms that we enjoy in this country now. And I would tell you that I am not one bit ashamed to be called a patriot. I love this country. I loved it when Carl Lewis took a victory lap after winning the Olympic 100-meter sprint. And in that victory lap, he held that little American flag before the thousands of people who gathered in the Los Angeles Coliseum to cheer him to victory. I remember the feeling that I had when our astronauts stepped upon the moon and put into that planet an American flag. I remember the patriotism that boiled to the surface in my heart, and I wonder at times, what will be our future? There are times when I consider the blessings that God has given our nation that it simply is overwhelming. But at the same time, I at times wonder what kind of life my children and my grandchildren will have. When I think about the tragedy of 9/11 and the World Trade Centers that occurred in 2001, fear grips me to a certain extent as I see, I think, the consequences that are unfolding because we live in a nation that is tending toward the immoral position, tending toward the denial of any kind of relationship or dependence upon a sovereign God. And I ask the question, and I ask you this morning to consider the question with me, will God continue to bless America? I suppose that you, as well as I, realize that we are rich in this country. We here are living more comfortably than any generation in the history of mankind. We throw away more food statistically in a day than some families have in other places in the world to eat in a week. We give to our dogs and our cats better nourishment and better medical attention than millions in third world countries receive. I want to suggest with you this morning that there are two truths that are undeniable. One, we are richly blessed with an abundance. And second, oftentimes we take these blessings for granted. We become in such a rush that we don't prayerfully count our many blessings. We sing at the Monte Vista Church of Christ from time to time, "Count Your Many Blessings." And when I sing that song, I almost feel overwhelmed with the impossibility of listing all of the good things that God has done for me and for those that I love. But oftentimes I believe that after we sing the song, after we leave the building, after the worship has died down and we get back into the stream of things in the world, that we begin to forget. We begin to put into background those blessings that God has given us. I would suggest to you that James 1 and verse 17 ought to be something that we are thankful for every minute of every day. There we read that it is God from whom all blessings flow. Before they went into the promised land, Moses spoke of the dangers of affluence and opulence to the Israelites. They were getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, and they would have great success. But Moses stood before them knowing the consequences of forgetting who the source of those blessings were. The text in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 7 beginning, of the speech that Moses made on that great day is just as applicable, is just as current as anything that could be stated today in our environment. I ask you, as you listen to these words, to say to yourself, do these things affect me in my country? The words of Moses, inspired of God, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes which I command you this day, lest, when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flint rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." We should take that admonition given by Moses in days past to heart. When we consider the 15th chapter of the book of Romans in verse 4, we see that things written aforetime were written for our instruction. They were written that we might learn something. And now to address directly the question, will God continue to bless America? I believe that He will if we humble ourselves and realize that no nation is indestructible. In Proverbs, the 15th chapter and verse 25, the Bible says, "The Lord will tear down the house of the proud." That is followed in the next chapter of Proverbs in verse 18, "Pride goes before a destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling." And while I certainly realize, as well as you, that these truths apply to individuals, they also apply to nations. I would like to call your attention to two verses in a little book by the name of Obadiah. Obadiah the prophet, in verses 3 and 4, when talking of the arrogance of the Edomites, said, "The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, who say in your heart, 'Who will bring me down to the ground?' Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, saith the Lord." The ancient powers that we study in history of Babylon, of Phoenicia, and of Egypt were brought down because of an inflated self-worth. We see that in Isaiah, the 13th chapter, verse 11, Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, and verse 2, and the 29th chapter of Ezekiel, verse 2 and 3. Even God's own people, the chosen people of God, the Israelites, were removed as a nation because they sought alliances with other national powers instead of trusting in God. Make no mistake, the Bible teaches and history confirms that no nation is indestructible. The greatness of a nation is not how many nuclear weapons it may have. The greatness of a nation is not how many ICBMs they have and their effectiveness. The greatness of a nation is not whether the budget is balanced. The greatness of a nation is not whether the economy is stabilized. The greatness of a nation is not found in the unemployment rate or other social standards. The greatness of a nation rests in its people giving glory and thanks to God. In Psalms 107 and verse 1, the wise man Solomon wrote, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who builds it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." Indeed. Well, will God continue to bless America? Yes, I believe that He will if we return to the moral principles of God. In Proverbs, the 14th chapter, in verse 34, there's a very stinging passage when considered and compared to our culture. There the Bible says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." If that's true, if sin disgraces a nation, then, my friend, we are becoming a disgraced and a reproached people because sin lies at every hand. Historians tell us that it was internal moral decay that led to the fall of the Roman Empire. And I would suggest to you that, like Belshazzar, we need to see the handwriting on the wall. 42 million abortions in our country since 1973. Over 4,000 per day, over 150 per hour, one every 25 seconds. For every 1,000 live births in this country, there are 306 abortions. In 1997, there were more abortions than American deaths in the Revolutionary, the War, the World War I and World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam conflict, and the Gulf Wars, all put together. A $400 million a year industry. Abortion. It's immoral. There is sexual promiscuity at every hand. It is almost deified by the media. I've read that 1 in 5 lose virginity before the age of 13 in our enlightened culture. 30% admit in a recent Harris poll to an extramarital affair. 50% of the girls and 80% of the boys in a recent survey in Chicago, teenagers, admit to being sexually active. We have now reached almost double digits in our culture of lesbians and homosexuals. It is coming to the point where mankind is legislated against to speak out against such depravity. Alcohol and substance abuse become a national disaster. 7 million of them admit to having at least one drink in their life. 15 million alcoholics. 1 million teenage gambling addicts. I would suggest to you that our values are changing. Immorality and worldliness is viewed by Christians even as respectable. We put up with language on television that is reproachable. We live in the midst of immodest apparel, even some engaging therein. We have sex in the movies that we bring into our house, and our senses are being dulled. One of these days, Jesus Christ will appear before us in judgment, and like in Matthew 7 and verse 23, will tell us, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You and I need to be a part of a movement that puts living purely and wholly before the world back into action. We need to see Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 15 through 17, and Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 14 and 15, put into action in our lives. Will God continue to bless America? Yes, I believe that He will, if there's a restoration of the home as God intended it to be. God's way is spelled out very clearly in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 22, beginning. Certainly that's a passage that the world looks on as being outdated and not applicable in this day and time. But I would suggest to you that the Word of God is just as pure today as it's ever been. It's just as binding upon man as it's ever been. Turning our back upon the Word of God is just as devastating to our eternal destiny as it's ever been. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 22 beginning, the Bible says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, he himself being Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long upon the earth. And fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." The breakdown of the family unit in our country is unbelievable. Thousands live together without being married. 50% of the marriages end up in the divorce court. I want you to listen to a quote from Edward Gibbons, who wrote a book entitled The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. He said that the reason for the rapid for the fall of the Roman Empire was the rapid increase in divorce and the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home. Is it any wonder that America is in trouble? The home is being destroyed. And what do we do about that? We build and support daycare centers where kids are raised by 9-to-5 substitute parents. We give our kids to humanist schools for training, and then we wonder why they're not faithful later in life. There is a need for moral training in the home, and there is a need that is right now. Husbands and wives need to be committed to stay married and work through problems. Grandparents who help establish and maintain godly relationship with their families need to spend time allowing their influence to guide the children to a better place and relationship with God. Will God continue to bless America? Yes, I believe He will if there's a revival of the dignity for man as created in the image of God. My friends, there's either a God or there isn't a God. And if God is, then man is responsible to Him. And if God is, then man has a perfect standard by which to live. And if God is, then man will be judged by the standard. But if there is no God, if man is a product just of mechanistic chance like the evolutionists teach, the consequences cannot be understated. If there is no God, there can be no absolute standard. There can be nothing that is classified as wrong. For if there is no God, there is no such thing as love, because love only has meaning with God. God is love. God made man in His own image, thus giving man the capacity to love and to be loved. And when we throw aside God, we throw aside love. Do you know why modern man has concocted this humanistic doctrine called evolution? I believe it's because modern man, in all of his intelligence, can't imagine that there's any power greater than he is. That man should read Romans, the first chapter, verse 19 through 22. I believe that he will, if this is the God who rules the universe. Benjamin Franklin, an 81-year-old congressman, addressed the Congressional Congress and said, "The longer I live and the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without His notice, is it possible that an empire rise without His aid?" My friends, the fate of our nation is not determined in the halls of Congress or through Senate legislation. The fate of our nation is not determined at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. The fate of this country rests in the hands of God. Psalms 33 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." As long as we remember that, we'll be blessed. But when we forget, the Bible teaches and history confirms that God will withhold the blessings. Remember Obadiah, verse 4, "Though you exalt yourself high as the eagle, and though you now, saith the Lord." Well, I thank you for listening today, and I pray that you will keep in mind the invitation that we have given you to come and to worship with us in a gospel meeting beginning the 9th of July and going through the 11th, that's Friday through Sunday, with Greg Bell from St. Charles, Missouri, doing the preaching. We invite everyone who's interested in spiritual things to come and join us in that effort. We will assemble at 7 o'clock on Friday and Saturday evenings, at 9:30 on Sunday morning, at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. Come and be with us. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.